Today's text passage is Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, where the theme is the believer's prayer helper. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Being the father of six children, I've repeatedly seen their childhood tendency not to need my help, but to want to do things by themselves. Many times I longed to help them with a task, but their reply was, "I can do it all by myself." However, in reality, they couldn't, which time would soon reveal. Well, just as a child was never meant to be independent from an earthly father, so too Christians were never meant to be independent from their heavenly father. Even if the fall had never occurred, the Father created us to be dependent upon Him and to recognize our weaknesses and acknowledge our need for His help. This is seen and experienced most practically in prayer, where the Apostle Paul describes how God provides aid and assistance for His people by means of the intercessory ministry of the Holy Spirit. And today's theme from verses 26 and 27 of Romans chapter 8 is the believer's prayer helper. The believer's prayer helper. And there are three points related to this theme. I'll mention them briefly at first and then open each one up more fully. First, in verse 26, the Spirit of God helps believers to pray due to their weakness and ignorance. Second, from the end of verse 26, the Spirit prays on behalf of believers with inexpressible groans. And third, in verse 27, since the Father perfectly knows the mind of the Spirit, He can accordingly answer the Spirit's prayers for believers. But before we consider these points, let's first look at the context and setting of the passage, which is an important backdrop for today's message. As we've seen throughout this chapter, the Holy Spirit has been the central focus of Paul's teaching. For instance, in the opening verses of the 8th chapter, Paul explained that God's Spirit has given believers freedom from the law of sin and death, and at the same time, He has given us power to fulfill its righteous requirements. And therefore, as verse 5 and following says, our minds can be set upon the things of the Spirit rather than upon the things of the flesh. In verses 9 to 11, Paul described the indwelling nature of God's Spirit, asserting that the Spirit lives inside of believers and not only gives life to their spirits, but will also one day give life to their resurrected bodies as well. And then in verses 12 and 13, Paul made a sobering statement concerning how the Holy Spirit's power enables believers to mortify and to put to death their sinful misdeeds, apart from which they will die and perish. Verse 13 says, "For if you live, that is, habitually live, according to the flesh, you will die and will experience both spiritual and eternal death. But if by the Spirit And by his indwelling power, you put to death the sinful misdeeds of the body. Then you will live and will experience spiritual and eternal life. And next, in verse 14 and following, Paul taught us that those who are led by the Spirit of God to put their sinful deeds to death prove by this that they are, in fact, sons of God, or are God's children and members of His family. The Spirit of adoption that they received testifies by means of an internal witness that they are indeed God's children and are, according to verse 17, co-heirs with Christ, who both share in His sufferings and will also one day be glorified together with Him. And more recently, in verse 18 and following, Paul has explained to us that just as the creation groans and labors with birth pangs, so too do we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, who is the guarantee and down payment of all the future blessings that await believers as God's heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And now today, in verses 26 and 7, the Spirit continues to be Paul's subject as he describes how the Spirit's ministry relates to believers' prayers. Again, the first point in verse 26 is this: the Spirit of God helps believers to pray due to their weakness and ignorance. Now, I realize that might fall hard on your ear, but it's exactly what Paul is teaching us here in verse 26. Namely, that believers have many weaknesses, especially in relation to prayer, and therefore they do not pray as they should. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. So here's the picture, and it's a very humbling one indeed. Christian believers are the ones in view here who are described as being weak. We are those who have many weaknesses, especially as it relates to the duty and privilege of prayer. And not only does the apostle describe us in this unflattering way, but he also makes this humbling observation about us. He says, we do not know what we should pray for. So Paul charges us not only with weakness, but also with ignorance. Reflexively, we might respond as do children who tend to say, I can do it all by myself. God, I don't need your help with prayer. I can do it. However, as time goes by, we come to realize that we cannot. Children aren't meant to be independent from their earthly father, and neither are Christians meant to be independent from their heavenly father. On the contrary, believers must recognize their weakness and lack of knowledge, especially in relation to prayer, and acknowledge their need for God's help with it. And to enable them to do this, believers are explicitly told that they stand in need of help from God's Spirit. So verse 26 begins with these encouraging words, likewise, the Spirit helps us. Now, helps is a short word in our English translation, but the Greek word here is a very long one. It's actually three Greek words put together and refers to someone coming alongside of another person for the purpose of helping him or her to bear a heavy load. It's similar to a word that Jesus elsewhere used to describe the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel, chapters 14 to 16, where he repeatedly called the Spirit the Parakletos, which has the same meaning of coming alongside someone to comfort and to help them. So the specific meaning of the word helps here in verse 26, referring to the help given by the Holy Spirit, is this. Paul views the believer as having weaknesses in the realm of prayer and intercession. Believers don't know what they should pray for as they ought. And Paul perceives this ignorance of not knowing what to pray for as a heavy load that believers struggle beneath. And therefore, the way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses is by coming alongside us and helping us lift this load right up to the Father. And by way of application, if the Father gives believers the Holy Spirit for the purpose of being their helper in prayer, then surely they must have need of His help. How dare we think that we can single-handedly undertake any spiritual enterprise without the aid and assistance of God the Holy Spirit, particularly prayer. Commenting on this, William Plummer wrote, and I quote him, "God's Spirit is the author of all saving illumination, of all spiritual renewals and revivings, of all holy triumphs and victories. Without Him, we can win no battle, bear no burden, conquer no evil habit, make no progress in the divine life. Left to ourselves, our prayers are poor and unworthy. We can do nothing to good purpose without help from heaven. Believers cannot stand if they be left to themselves," he says, "but will certainly succumb and faint in the day of adversity. Instead, they must be helped and assisted by the Spirit of God." End quote. And that's what Paul is revealing to us here in verse 26. It's the good news that believers have a prayer helper. Our gracious God hasn't left us alone in our weaknesses and in our lack of knowledge concerning how to pray or what to pray for. No, instead, God has given us the third person of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, to help us pray. So by way of application, we can also say this. True acceptable Christian prayer is only possible with the Holy Spirit's intervention and assistance. Again, true acceptable Christian prayer is only possible with the Holy Spirit's intervention and assistance. Has the thought ever dawned on you that for a believer to pray in a way that's truly acceptable to God is impossible apart from the intervention and assistance of the Holy Spirit? The Apostle Paul's case is clear as it relates to prayer. First, although redeemed, believers have weaknesses and need help, especially with prayer. And second, despite being enlightened by the new birth, believers continue to experience some darkness and lack of knowledge and do not know what they should pray for as they should. However, God the Spirit helps them in their weaknesses. He intervenes and assists them in their acts of prayer. And therefore, true, acceptable Christian prayer is only possible with the Holy Spirit's intervention and assistance. The second point Paul makes about the believer's prayer helper is taken from the end of verse 26, which is this: the Spirit prays on behalf of believers with inexpressible groans. Again, the Spirit prays on behalf of believers with inexpressible groans. Look at the end of verse 26. Paul says, "But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Paul draws our attention here to the intercessory role of the Holy Spirit on behalf of believers. The key word is intercession. And notice that this intercession is made for us. It's made for believers by the Spirit Himself. Now, to make intercession for believers simply means to pray on their behalf. Here it means to express something that they can't see due to their weaknesses and due to their inability to pray as they ought to. Once again, this is a humbling thought for believers to embrace, because like children, we don't easily admit our need for help. However, Paul insists that we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. So apparently believers have limitations that make God's intervention and assistance as their intercessor absolutely necessary. John MacArthur Jr. explains it this way, and I quote him: "Because of our imperfect perspectives, finite minds, human frailties, and spiritual limitations, we are not able to pray in absolute consistency with God's will. Many times we are not even aware that spiritual needs exist, much less know how best they should be met. Even the Christian who prays sincerely, faithfully, and regularly cannot possibly know God's purposes concerning all of his own needs or the needs of others for whom he prays." End quote. And therefore, due to believers' weaknesses and lack of knowledge, the Holy Spirit of God intercedes on their behalf in the matter of prayer. And I trust you know also that believers have another intercessor and advocate besides the Holy Spirit. And many of you know who that is. Hebrews 7, verse 25, just make a note of it, says, "Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." So quite amazingly, believers have two divine intercessors, one in heaven at the right hand of the Father, who is our great high priest, Jesus Christ, and another who dwells within us, the indwelling Holy Spirit Himself, who makes intercession for us. Also notice at the end of verse 26 what this intercession sounds like. Paul says, "The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us," notice, "with groanings which cannot be uttered or expressed." Now here's that word groanings again. We saw it back in verse 22 where Paul wrote about the whole creation groaning, and also in verse 23 where he describes believers as groaning within ourselves. as they eagerly await the consummation and the redemption of their bodies. And now here in verse 26, a third mention of groaning appears. But this time it's not creation or believers. It's the Spirit Himself, that is, the Holy Spirit of God. And He is described as making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or cannot be expressed. The phrase which cannot be uttered is alaletos, which means unspeakable or wordless. So the point Paul is making is that the groanings that the Spirit makes on behalf of believers are incapable of human expression. Instead, they are wordless or speechless groans. However, this doesn't mean that these groanings are without meaningful content. On the contrary, they carry profoundly meaningful content. Granted, they are beyond our human understanding, yet these groanings represent what John MacArthur described as inter-Trinitarian communication. I like that. Inter-Trinitarian communication. Divine articulations by the Holy Spirit to the Father. End quote. So here's the application we can make from this. The combined intercession of both the Son and the Spirit assure believers that their prayers are heard by the Father. Again, the combined intercession of both the Son and the Spirit assure believers that their prayers are heard by the Father. What a consolation for Christians this should be. That in the privilege and duty of prayer to which they are all called, there is divine help and assistance, not from only one, but from two persons of the Trinity. Both Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit are actively involved as intercessors on behalf of believers. And that combined intercession assures believers that their prayers are heard by the Father. Well, the third and last point Paul makes about the believer's prayer helper is taken from verse 27, which is this. Since the Father perfectly knows the mind of the Spirit, He can accordingly answer the Spirit's prayers for believers. Again, since the Father perfectly knows the mind of the Spirit, He can accordingly answer the Spirit's prayers for believers. Look at verse 27 in our text. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Here again is another text supporting the doctrine of the Trinity, involving both the Father and the Spirit. You notice how it does that. He who searches the hearts. Who does that refer to? That refers to God the Father. He who searches the hearts of men, and who doesn't look on the outward appearance, but instead looks upon the heart. And if God the Father knows the hearts of men, then how much more does He know the mind of the Holy Spirit? So Paul asserts that He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And therefore, two persons of the Trinity are in view here. God the Father and the Spirit. And then Paul says that the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, or agreeably with God's will. In other words, because they are both one in essence and being, and have perfect unity and oneness of will and purpose, then God the Father, who can search men's hearts and who knows the Spirit's mind, can accordingly answer the Spirit's prayers and intercessory groanings for believers. Since the Father perfectly knows the mind of the Spirit, He can accordingly answer the Spirit's prayers for believers. Well, here's a couple of applications in conclusion. The first one is this: the revealed will of God must guide our prayer life. Again, the revealed will of God must guide our prayer life. Believers should pray as the Holy Spirit does, in accord with and in agreement with the will of God. In today's text, Paul makes a significant statement concerning how the Holy Spirit prays and makes intercession for believers who are called the saints. And this is how the Spirit prays. He prays according to the will of God. And that's also how believers are to pray as well. Namely, in accord with and in agreement with God's will. Now, some might ask at this point, yes, but what is the will of God? How can we know the will of God? Didn't Paul just tell us that we don't know what we should pray for as we ought? So doesn't that mean that we can't know the will of God? No, it doesn't. Yes, there are some things that we don't know specifically how to pray for, but in fact, we can know the will of God because it's revealed in the written Word of God. And sometimes we don't know what to pray for because we don't know what the Word of God says. Over and over again in Scripture, we read these words: "This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be sanctified and holy, and abstain from sexual immorality, and do good that you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, and pray without ceasing." This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that's repeated again and again and again. And it's only as we become familiar with what God's Word says that we can pray as the Spirit does, in accord with and in agreement with the revealed and written Word of God. The revealed will of God in the written Word of God must guide our prayer life. A second concluding application is this: due to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the prayers of believers progress and get through to God. Again, due to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the prayers of believers progress and get through to God. Though it may often seem like prayer hits a roadblock and progresses no further, imagine many of you have had that experience many times, and at least you've felt subjectively that that were the case. Yet, the Holy Spirit has been given to believers for the purpose of helping their prayers progress and get through to God. Let me illustrate. James Montgomery Boyce tells a story about a man who learned to play the violin. At first, he was terrible. He couldn't hit a note until he got a radio schedule of the classical music broadcast in his area and also purchased the violin music parts to all of the concerts. And then he tuned in every day and played along as best as he could. As months and years went by, the novice violinist slowly but surely progressed. And the time eventually came when he could play along with the orchestra broadcast pretty well. Writes Boyce, prayer is also like that. There are plenty of mistaken notes and groans too, but there is also progress, joy, and encouragement, since God continues to conduct the perfect heavenly symphony, and the Holy Spirit is continuing to prepare us for the day when we will be able to take our place in the divine orchestra. In the meantime, he says, we can know that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, like a wise and faithful teacher, is always by our side. End quote. Well, the story illustrates our point of application, namely that due to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the prayers of believers progress and get through to God. We'll pick up next week at verse 28, where we find one of the most beloved texts in the Bible, Romans 8:28, where Paul wrote, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." I hope you'll join us again next time. May the Lord bless you. Amen.